Thank you guys for your time and for your preparation and for your service and your hearts here. I'm going to come back to that phrase. Take this life, let it become your throne. We sing that, and it's coupled with unbroken praise to God forever. And then it's take this life, may it become your throne. Last week we were able to celebrate Thanksgiving here. I want to just say again thank you to Aaron Julin for leading us so capably and faithfully and listening to the Spirit. And I also want to say to a few of you that the reality was, we were sitting looking at each other, we were in the round, the table, there was lots of bread, and wine was being spilled. And so for some of you, I realized that was probably a little difficult, and so I want to say thank you for staying with us and being here. And that's exactly what we're trying to get across, is that life is full of mess and Jesus is right there with us. And so I know for some of us, that was difficult. And a lot of us, in the midst of the difficulty, a lot of us said that was so meaningful. So let's remember that picture of seeing each other through the bread and the wine, through Jesus' lens. Let's continue to remember that. And that's what we're doing here. 40 days of love. Corey asked me, so how many days of love are left? I said, that's true. So I don't know if we're going to do, when Peter gets back, I don't know if we're going to do like 40 days of judgment, or I'm not sure what we're going to do. No, we're going into a three-part series on faith when Peter gets back, and then we're going to go right into Advent. And again, we're looking for people to maybe help with that. And we'd love artists and allies and anyone that wants to help out in that way. We'd love for you to be a part of this. Here, today, we're looking at love lets it go. Love lets it go. And our scripture is from 1 Corinthians 13:5. It's like a couple sentences, but it's just so full of so much. So here it is. Love is not rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. And love keeps no record of when it has been wronged. There's a lot in there. The translation or the paraphrase, the voice says it this way. It's not on your screen, but you can listen as I'm... it goes, love is never rude, crude, or indecent. It's not self-absorbed. It's not easily upset. Love doesn't tally wrongs. The voice. Oh, it is there. Look at that. Someone's really on it. And that's what we're going to look at today. I ran across this phrase this week as I was preparing, and it reminded me of what we talked about 3 weeks ago when I was preaching, that before love does, love is. So we always have to be reminded that love is actually a person. Love isn't an it. Love is a person, and that person is Jesus. In 1 John, John writes, God is love. And we understand, we see, and we interpret the scripture to say that Jesus, that God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in who Jesus was. And Jesus himself said, if you want to see God, you look at me. Hello, this is it. So Jesus is the full manifestation of who God is. And if God is love, we look to Jesus for our cues of life and love. Before love does, love is. Jesus, though, lived a perfect life. And he's calling us, those of us that have received, he's calling everyone, but particularly right now, those of us who have received this good grace of God's love in our lives, he's actually calling us to live a life of love ourselves. So Jesus came practically to show us practically what love is and practically what love does. And that's in a person. Because we are who we are, and we also do. But we're not perfect. We are becoming. So we aren't Jesus. Although the term Christians is little Jesuses. right? That was actually a derogatory name that was given to the Christians in the first century. All those little Jesuses. And they went, all right, we're Christians. And sometime that word Christian has maybe got tainted in a few different ways. But that's who we are. And we're not perfect. We're becoming. For us as humans, we are also, it's also the doing of the things that also shape who we are. So God's love, His grace, His good grace of what happens in our lives, that Jesus loves us, that He gave His life for us, that He stepped down from heaven to us and for all of creation, actually, that shapes us. But also, it's the doing, it's the practical doing of things that shape us as well. So sometimes it takes faith to be able to act and do in love. No, I don't want to love right now. And so I think Scripture points these things for us to do because it shapes who we are becoming. Does that make sense? Because some people, well, I want to be authentic, and I just don't feel loving right now. And Jesus says, oh, yeah. Actually, you're a little me. You're a mini-me. That's bad images that come to mind there. But Jesus says, so act in faith in this love and the love that you received in me, but act in faith, and then you're going to learn and grow and do more and become more loving. So to both ends, we're shaped by who Jesus is and what He's done for us. And we're also shaped by how and what we do, actually. So I'm going to try to shape this sermon not only on what we do and not only on who we're becoming, but we're also going to look at the source of this love that shapes both our being and our doing. Make sense? It always points back to Jesus. Everything does. So let's get at it. Love is not rude. So we must be tactful and not just truthful. Anyone have any difficult people in their lives? Yeah? No. Yeah, some people, the rest of you are lying. Do you know any rude people? Have you ever been around someone who makes your blood boil, makes your teeth grit? Physically, your body reacts to them, and you just want to scream. But you know that would be rude. So you don't. It's really easy to deal with easy people, like people that are like you, people that talk like you. It's really easy to deal with people that are easy to deal with, because that's who they are. They're easy to deal with, so it's easy to deal with them. But I wonder, when the rubber hits the road regarding to this kingdom, this thing we say, take my life and let it become your throne. That's what the kingdom is, actually. The kingdom isn't... Now we all need to vote tomorrow. Vote, please. Get out and vote. But our hope isn't in a government. Our hope is not in this kingdom here. Our hope is in who Jesus Christ is and His kingdom. And yet we live in a different kingdom as we're living in this world right now. So the rubber hits the road when we actually deal with difficult people. The degree to how we deal with difficult people is probably representative of how, of the degree that you are kingdomized, that you are a little Jesus, that you are moving in the direction of what Jesus wants you to be and to become. Make sense? Well, that's hard. That's hard. And me too. This is hard. But this is a good thing. Greg, can you kill the... So I don't want this online. What does it look like to manifest the love of Christ to this kind of person? It's something that we are to be doing to actually every single person. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, pleasing aroma. Did you catch that? Live a life filled with love, following His example, because you're His dear children. But this is hard to do. But it's so beautiful if we're able to do it. And Jesus says even more pointed in Matthew 5. He says, you know that you're my children, and I mentioned this before, of heaven, when you respond to difficult people this way. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of the Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. He says that everyone can find their, we are to see everyone's worth and value, that they're stamped with Imago Dei, the image of God in their lives. And we are to treat people like this. And Jesus says we're supposed to love our enemies. That's hard. Let alone all the bigness of enemies that war and terrorists and all those kind of things will get us to be thinking. But sometimes our enemies just like, uncle. So we actually want to put their well-being above our own. Ooh, this may sound trite. I don't want to be that. All I'm doing is repeating what Jesus has said to us. Right? Start by praying for them. Does the way I speak, act, and respond to this person communicate my agreement with God about their worth? Do I show respect? Am I exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit? Love, peace, joy, as I'm responding to this person. I have a prayer for us to pray, even now, as you think of that person. Think of that person. And let's pray this prayer. If you go to the next slide. Maybe the next one. I think while you put it on there, it says, Jesus, I surrender. It's this slide. I'm not going to go until we have it up there. Maybe it didn't come through. That's okay. Let's think of that person and pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I surrender my will over to you. I commit to relating to this person the way you want me to. I confess I cannot do this on my own. So as I learn about how you want me to relate to this person today, will you empower me by the Spirit who lives in me to remember what I learn and apply this to my relationship to this person? Amen. Two, love is not demanding. Love is demanding our time right now. Don't demand. Philippians 2, 5, 7. We're jumping. We're going to jump. Ready? It was like 25 when I came. So we're going to jump here a little bit and get to the crux of it. So we're going to jump 2 and 3 and get to 4. Because I love you. And we're all demanding time. And I don't want to be rude. And I don't want you to become irritable. All right? So you can check out the scriptures. That's what happens when the guy gets up late. But because I love you, I don't want us to be later. So let's jump to 4. Because some of this is all, like, there's so much to do, right? But let's just jump to 4. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So we must learn to forgive and let it go. Whoa. This is huge. This is huge. This is really, really big. Okay? Brian Zahn has a quote. He says this, if Christianity is about anything, it's about forgiveness. If Christianity is about anything, it's about forgiveness. On the cross, some of Jesus' last words were these. Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes we think that Christian forgiveness maybe is cheap in light of things like abuse, murder, genocide, but rather it's costly because it flows actually from the cross. Forgiveness comes from the cross of what Jesus has done for us and who he is living this self-sacrificial life that we would have looked in Philippians 2 in. And then it's met with injustice and violence on the cross. Christian forgiveness I would say, even though it says we talk about letting it go and not keeping records of wrong, I'm not sure that it calls us to forget, though. I'm going to contradict things here a little bit. I don't know. Are we able to forget? Can we do that? I don't know if we can. But it doesn't remind and keep the record and keep it there in front of you. And I'm going to go back to that list. I'm going to look at that list. I'm going to bring that up again. I'm going to bring that up again. I'm going to bring that up again in your own life and in the lives of someone else. So there's some of us that get our list and we go, this is it basically, because so much has happened to us in our lives, so much hurt has happened in our lives and to our lives from other people, that it brings us down and we're caught and we're looking at the list and we're looking and going, never, 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 never. All of this. And then some of us are making lists of maybe other people and what they've done and what you've done. And that list is kind of shadowing over top of people. You'll never do anything right. You did this. And others of us have our own list of all the things that we've done wrong. And we don't think we can even forgive ourselves. The Christian forgiveness allows us to remember, but it calls us to end the cycle of revenge. So the counting score, the list that we have in our heads and our hearts, is something that we can not really forget, but it's something that if we are to be able to forgive, has the power, if we don't forgive, has the power to kind of rule our lives. Christ died for us. Look to Jesus. While we're enemies, he died for us. We were like that with him. And we had, this is what grace is. Grace is so opposite of karma. Grace is the wild card, the beautiful wild card. And I think you too had it right, where they sing, grace makes beauty out of ugly things. And this is what God does. So he forgives us all the stuff that we've done in our lives, and he calls us to be ambassadors of that, that as he is rightfully sitting on our throne, we are to be little Jesuses and do that for other people, and that's really, really hard, but that's the beautiful kingdom. And it becomes very practical really quickly. And Jesus' first words, not only last words on the cross, but his first words to some of his disciples that John records, is this: peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then what does he say right after that? If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you don't forgive them, not forgiven. It comes back down to forgiveness. Don't live this life the way the kingdom is wanting you to, the way the earthly kingdom is wanting us to live. We have a different ruler that's seated on our throne and affects our life and what we're able to do. But it's so hard. And you know what? It's so good. This announcing that the kingdom of Jesus is alive and well in our lives and is ready and available to all is so good. And yet it might just even take us baby steps. I don't know about you. I have a hard time listening sometimes. But we're going to listen to a story. It's a 3-minute story. We're going to listen to a story of Mary Johnson and O'Shea Israel. And a story of radical forgiveness. So you're going to watch the picture and listen to the story, okay?
Prison. I wanted to know if you were in the same mindset.
Can we just go back to that? Just start it again. I don't want us to miss.
You and I met at Stillwater Prison. I wanted to know if you were in the same mindset of what I remember from court, where I wanted to go over and hurt you, but you were not that 16-year-old. You were a grown man. I shared with you about my son.
And he became human to me, you know. When I met you, it was like, okay, this guy is real. And then when it was time to go, you broke down and started shedding tears. And the initial thing to do was just try to hold you up as best I can. Just hug you like I would my own mother.
After you left the room, I began to say, I just hug the man that murdered my son. And I instantly knew that all that anger and the animosity, all the stuff I had in my heart for 12 years for you, I knew it was over, that I had totally forgiven you.
As far as receiving forgiveness from you, sometimes I still don't know how to take it because I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. It's something that I'm learning from you.
I treat you as I would treat my son, and our relationship is beyond belief. We live next door to one another.
Yeah, so you can see what I'm doing. You know, firsthand. Mm-hmm. We actually bump into each other all the time, leaving in and out of the house. And our conversations, they come from, boy, how come you ain't called over here to check on me in a couple of days? You ain't even asked me if I need my garbage to go out.
Uh-huh.
I find those things funny because it's a relationship with a mother for real.
Well, my natural son is no longer here. I didn't see him graduate. You know, you're going to college. I'll have the opportunity to see you graduate. I didn't see him get married. Hopefully one day I'll be able to experience that with you.
Just to hear you say those things and to be in my life in the manner that which you are is my motivation. It motivates me to make sure that I stay on the right path. You still believe in me and the fact that you can do it despite how much pain I cause you. It's amazing.
I know it's not an easy thing, you know, to be able to share our story together. So I admire that you can do this.
I love you, lady.
I love you too, son.
Whew. That's real. It can happen. And if you go and you search the web and you hear her, she just says you can't forgive unless you unless you understand how Jesus has forgiven you. And are we willing to do that? What does it look like? N.T. Wright, I love N.T. Wright, wrote this quote. So putting on Christ, becoming more like Christ, is a matter of consciously deciding again and again to do certain things in certain ways, to create patterns of memory and imagination deep within the psyche. Gradually, bit by bit, the putting on of these qualities, say forgiveness, qualities that seem for the moment so artificial, so unnatural, so unlike me, will in fact transform the character at its deepest level. This is what Jesus wants us to do. And sometimes it's like that, is it, what about Bob? It's like baby steps, right? Like we're to take baby steps. And maybe God's calling us today to just make a baby step. Can you take one step towards forgiveness to someone? Can you take one step towards erasing something on the list? Would you be willing to do that today? Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. And at some point, we might be able to leap like this woman did and jump. But it needs to start with some steps first. We're becoming. We're not perfect. But if Jesus is the throne in our lives, as there's kingdom in our lives, he is willing to do this in our life. I want us to participate in something this morning. It might mean that we don't do the last song, but it might mean that we... Anyway, I want us to participate in something. Wally, can you distribute those things and some pens? And that'd be great. Maybe someone can help Wally out. You're going to receive a piece of paper this morning that says the list written on it. And I'd like you to... like us to take some time to actually write a few things down. It could be a hurt that maybe you're holding on to. It could be some kind of unforgiveness that's eating you up. That's consuming you. It could be the list that you have, all the mistakes in your own mind that you can't forgive yourself. There's going to be a video that's going to be a song and a video that's going to be played in a few minutes. And during that song, I want you to write down a few of those things on this list. Then, when you have time, if you're able to, and you will have time, but I want us to go back and sometimes you go, what do we do with this? There's a shredder actually over there. Can you make sure it's on, Jim? In the back. We're not doing an altar call. I'm not having you come up. I'm having you walk to the back. It's way easier. Okay? And then I just want you to take that list at some point during this song, towards the end or at the end of the service, take that and just shred it and say, this is one step I want to be closer to whatever this is eating me up. I want to be like Jesus. I'm going to receive what Jesus has for me. And I want to be able to give that to others. But it starts with baby steps in our own lives. I don't know about you, but even here, as you know, working as a pastor for so long, I got some stuff. I'm like going, oh yeah, I can write some things down. And maybe you don't have to get overwhelmed. It's not like, and nothing magical. You know, when you put it in there, oh right, it's gone. No, well, it hopefully this can be a symbolic action of a baby step for us towards forgiveness and towards letting something go. Mary Johnson would say that forgiveness is actually more about the person forgiving than it is about the other person. And so would we be willing to receive from Jesus today, discover his good grace in our lives, so that we might be able to follow him into the hard places and live a life that he's calling us to live? Would be willing to do that? So you all have this. If you can play that video, Jordan, it's about four minutes long. Take some time. You can listen to it. Maybe you can do it right away. But let's do it. You can crank the music up.
Write them down one by one. Every single mistake that you've ever made, every single wrong turn you wish you didn't take. Keeping count, you can't let go. In for life behind bars, but you're holding the key. 'Cause the list tells your heart that you'll never be free. But love keeps no record of wrong. No, no. Love keeps no record of wrong. No, no. Love keeps no record of wrong. No, no. Listen to me, love keeps no record of wrong. No.
pray. Jesus, thank you that you're the ultimate example, that you don't keep record of wrongs. Help us navigate this. Holy Spirit, would you fill us so that we can be a people that are forgiving, that we can be a people that is just kingdom-minded, Jesus, that you are sitting on the throne of our lives, that we are people that are extending this kind of good grace to others. Help us navigate our own world and the brokenness that we find ourselves in. Help us be able to maybe put up boundaries that we might need with certain people, but allow us to value them with your worth. Help us work out the baby steps that we need to be walking towards forgiveness in our own lives with the hurt that's happened in our own life. And I pray that today, even as corny as it is to write it on a piece of paper and have it shredded, I pray that somehow, some way, you are doing a good work in our hearts and our lives because of that action today. God, we so want you to reveal yourself in and amongst us, in our neighbors, in our friends. Thank you for touching our lives today. Help us to do things that might not be natural this week, but we know that they're good and they're loving, and it's going to make us and shape us into who you are, Jesus. So allow us to receive from you and to give to others. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Be encouraged today. The band can come up. You guys practice so much. You can come up and play it as we go get our kids, and maybe some of us want to linger, and maybe some of us want to even pray for each other and take some time. But I was just suggesting. I didn't say that you guys wouldn't, but come on up and play. And for those of us maybe that need to go get our kids, we can. But some of us might need to hear this song as well. So peace to you all.